I told my boss, I said, I'm done with this. I just couldn't do it no more.
Some businesses start from a great idea, some from a need. But for George and Margarita Rivera, their company, Doc Watts Electric, was founded in a moment of frustration.
He came home to pretty much let me know that he had quit his job and that he was going to do this side thing full time. It was super bad timing. I'm 8 months pregnant. I was just like, what are you thinking?
The stakes were extremely high. It's like a do or die moment. You know, either I'm going to put food on the table or I'm not.
Welcome to The Unshakeables from Chase for Business and Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia. I'm Ben Walter, CEO of Chase for Business.
And I'm Tanya Nebo, a lawyer and consultant for business owners.
On The Unshakeables, we're sharing the daring stories of small business owners facing their crisis points and telling the stories of how they got through it.
Ben, we're back with another story.
Tell me all about it, Tanya.
Well, once upon a time, newlyweds George and Margarita decided to leave behind everything they knew while raising an infant. Though the first few months were hard, they finally got a huge break and put everything on the line. Would this moment make or break the couple and the business?
Is that a Hollywood movie or a small business story?
I'll let you listen and then you can decide. On today's episode, Doc Watts from Orlando, Florida. Growing up, a lot of kids dream of being astronauts or ballerinas. Not George Rivera. He only wanted to be one thing, an electrician.
I was born for this. If you talk to my mom, she tells you I was born with a wire nut in my hand.
His dad was a handyman, and he'd tag along on jobs and watch him build, shape, paint, and tear things down. But nothing fascinated him quite like electricity.
It's a mystery. You can do 1,000 different things. You can turn the light bulb a different way. There's no one way to do it.
He went to an electrician training program, completed an apprenticeship, and got a job at the Orlando airport. Right away, he was put on a multi-million dollar electrical project.
I was the youngest guy there with the license. I barely had any mustache or beard. And they'd tell me, George, man, what are you doing here? I've been doing this since you were in diapers, you know, pretty much.
Although he was a lot younger than most of his coworkers, George wasn't shy about taking charge.
They didn't like a young guy coming in. I was very aggressive, very go-getter. And there was one guy, I told him, listen, man, one day you're going to be working for me.
Before long, he was right. George quickly rose in the ranks and soon was managing the same men that had previously disrespected him.
We had 32 guys. The guy showed up late. I said, you know, I feel like a big babysitter here.
George got more and more frustrated. One day, after a particularly infuriating moment, he marched straight into his boss's office.
I told my boss, I said, I just couldn't do it no more. I'm done with this.
I'm going to go on my own. And that's exactly what I did. I didn't think about it. I knew I was going to have a company one day. And I said, now or never.
George may have known that this was the moment, but his wife, Margarita, had no idea. The whole ride home, George dreaded telling her.
I remember pulling up to the driveway and walking around the van 1,000 times.
Like in circles?
Just in circles, like, yeah. I think I had to redo the driveway after that.
Margarita was 8 months pregnant with their son. They had only $1,000 in the bank and lived in a house with the foundation issues that made it slanted. With all that was going on, the timing wasn't great.
He came home to pretty much let me know that he had quit his job and that he was going to do this side thing full time.
That's Margarita Rivera, George's wife and a co-owner of Doc Watts.
I was just like, what are you thinking? We're going to have a baby in a month.
Let's pretend George isn't sitting next to you. Were you cussing him out in your mind?
You know, it was more like, you really made this decision without me. How is this going to happen? How is this going to work? There was no plan.
Okay, Tanya, I have to stop you for a second. Let me ask you honestly, okay? If you were 24 years old, you're just married, you're 1 month away from having your first kid, and your spouse comes out and says, I've had it, I quit, I'm starting a new business, here we go. Right, I mean...
Right, that sounds like you were cussing him out in your mind, right?
She's,
you had to be.
She deserves an Olympic medal. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's a lot. To be as calm as it sounds like she was, even though she's pissed because he didn't say anything to her about
sure.
it. And then he makes such a major life decision when she's about to give birth, for God's sakes. Like, what?
Yeah.
Saint.
Okay, let's go back to the story. What happens next?
So Ben, George had actually been preparing for this moment. Months before he quit, he put ads in the local paper for electrical work on the side. He even bought a utility van.
I ain't handle customer base. Starting out, nothing. Just really going out with faith. No money, no experience, no business skills. Like 100% of nothing, still nothing. It's like a do or die moment. You know, either I'm going to put food on the table or I'm not. We had no room to fail.
He knew that to stand out, his business needed a catchy name. And then one day, he was talking to a friend about it.
I remember, man, what's the name going to be? What's the name going to be? So he throws his phone book on his table and landed in the doctor pages, you know. And you know, how about Doc Watts Electric? I said, oh, that's corny and catchy.
Doc Watts Electric. He even had someone sketch out what the character Doc Watts would look like.
Yeah, he's an older guy. It looks like little Einstein. You know, I tell people that's me in 20 years holding a light bulb.
George even started wearing a uniform.
I used to go with my Doc Watts, like a lab coat.
Like a doctor's coat, a white doctor's coat.
Wow. Yeah. And I used to pull up to the people's houses. I said, look at this guy. You know, I needed some advertisement. I needed to be stand out.
I was trying to catch people's eyes, you know, I was trying to attract them. Man, who is this guy walking in this house with a lab coat?
He built his business through word of mouth and by saying yes to any type of job he could get.
There was one time I was even doing flooring just to get started.
His hustle paid off. He started with smaller household jobs to build his client base and then landed contracts with larger companies.
I worked day and night nonstop. There was times where I needed to get something done the very next day. I said, there's no way this guy's going to get it done. And I'd stay there all night. The guy was very impressed. So that's how you build clientele. You show them what you're made of.
George was on his new path, and Margarita was headed back to work at the county courthouse after her maternity leave. She'd found a sitter for their baby, but then...
2 weeks into me going back to work, I pick my son up and she says to me, Margarita, I can't watch him anymore.
Oh, no.
I'm like, wait, what? And so I came home and I tell George, I'm like, she just said she can't watch him anymore. We can't afford daycare. Like, what are we going to do? So the conversation came up about me leaving my job and doing this full time with him. George was like, well, why don't we grow the business? Why don't we do this together? And so, of course, my thought process was like, okay, do I want to do that?
Margarita had earned a degree in psychology and dreamt of actually working in the field full time.
You know, it's very difficult to think about leaving your career path, your dream, to help fulfill your husband's. You understand?
Yeah.
So that was a decision that I had to make, and we decided that that's what we were going to do. There could have been, because of that, a little bit of resentment, even though that's what I thought the best decision was.
It was a tough decision, but it really was the only decision we had in our hands. We didn't have no family member. We can't go back to mom and dad's house. We had no options.
So Margarita would join Doc Watts as a co-owner. She'd start handling the administration and operation side of the business, all while taking care of a newborn. They'd spend the next few years learning on the job.
There was a lot of stress in the beginning, just trying to figure things out. Neither of us had any business knowledge, any business experience.
Well, I made a ton of mistakes, I can tell you that. You know, I wish I was a little more educated and all that stuff. But you know what? Sometimes you just got to be naive. You don't need to have everything figured out. You just have to have the will, the gut to do it.
While the company was taking off, Margarita had trouble letting go of some resentment.
For a little bit, because George was out front and he was meeting the customers and things like that, there was also sort of like a feeling of being in the shadow. He was like the face. And then I was like behind the scenes, you know, doing all the background work.
Besides, this was her husband's dream, not hers. George tried to convince her otherwise.
Through the whole process, I told babe, you're an owner. This is your baby. I was planting that seed from day one.
But all their efforts were working. Clients were returning and referrals were coming in quickly. One of his clients ended up recommending him for his biggest job yet.
He said, this is a big job. You know, I'm not sure if you can do it. I was doing multi-million dollar jobs at the airport. I can do it for somebody else. I can do it for myself.
So even though he'd never done anything like this before, he bid on the job.
There's like three or four other companies that I know of were bidding, and they were well known. And I just submitted a proposal.
I wanted it so bad.
I talked to the owner and said, listen, just give me a shot.
Doc Watts landed the gig, and it was a big one. But at first, they felt like it was a little out of their league.
I have no tools. I had no employees, no credit. I had nothing.
George and Margarita would be doing all the electrical work for two buildings near Universal Studios, Orlando. The project budget was $1 million.
With this job landing on our desk, the stakes were high again. This was either going to break us or take us to the next level.
To get the job done, George would need some help. He even brought in some of the guys he used to work with at the airport, the same ones he joked would work for him one day. That day had come.
I called everybody and their mother to come help.
We recruited his brother, Jonah. He was working at a restaurant at the time. George was just like, you know, I need you to come help me. Mind you, his brother had no electrical experience.
What was this like working this job? What did you do to execute on this?
I pretty much lived there. I had no choice. Weekend, Saturday, Sunday, sun up, sun down. A group of 10 people should have done this job.
The crew wasn't the only thing that was absolutely invaluable to pulling off this job. There was also the copper wiring. The cost of copper wire had gone way up, and they had spent $70,000 on it for this project alone. Theft of copper wire was on the rise, so George couldn't take any chances.
At the time, gas was going up, the copper's going up. We had this big delivery to the job. I said, man, I had to stay here. And my wife said, what do you mean stay here? I said, yeah, because if somebody takes a foot, 2 foot of one of these cuts of wire, it was done. You might as well pack your bags. I spent a night at the job site. I don't think I slept. I was out there keeping my head on a swivel. You know, I was looking around. I don't remember sleeping.
Up until this point, Margarita had mostly been working in the background at Doc Watts. But this job changed everything.
I was super involved in that job. And so I think the beginning of this job is when I took ownership. I purposely tried to be out front to where like, okay, yeah, he's the doc, but I'm here too. There's certain things that all of us bring to the table. And so I kind of had to just realize those. I may not have all of this electrical knowledge, but I have something to bring. I have something that is going to help this business grow.
That's when she became owner. And right there, let me tell you, sky was the limit.
The project was grueling, but George and Margarita's small but mighty team pulled it off.
This $1 million contract changes the game for Doc Watts, yes?
Absolutely. Right in the middle of the recession, yeah. We were thriving.
I was doing the biggest job in my life, and I had my brother with me and my wife. Oh, man, you can't write this if you wanted to.
With a $1 million project under their belt, Doc Watts started bidding on other large jobs and started hiring more employees. They also decided to make another big bet.
We ended up buying a little small building. You know, we went from our house to our storage unit to actually in 2011, we ended up buying a little 2,100 square foot building, a little tiny little thing.
For many, real estate is the business. But for Doc Watts, real estate was the insurance policy.
I was working for the other company. Remember that they rented their spot for 18 years. And they went out of business and they have no assets and no nothing like that. So you know what? I would not be like them. So we can rent it out to have other incomes just in case, you know, something, God forbid, something happens to Doc Watts. We always had something to fall back on.
While George and Margarita made some strategic moves to expand, one of the biggest growth areas for their business came from a moment of just being human. In 2017, when Hurricane Maria devastated Puerto Rico, Doc Watts donated two generators to a charity helping to rebuild. This turned out to be the first step in what would be a major pivot for the company.
We wasn't built to do generators. We were doing commercial jobs, service, and all that stuff. I said, man, what a great opportunity to take advantage of this. And we capitalized it. We do the maintenance. We do the programming. We do all the warranty claims. It was a whole different department. We have a generator department now because of Hurricane Maria and the hurricanes afterwards.
Today, Doc Watts continues to grow their core business, and no one has to sleep on the work sites anymore.
The business has grown significantly from us doing all the tasks, and now we have an office team, a field team. And now, just recently, we finished our office expansion, and now it's 12,700 square feet. So it's a little surreal to think about it.
And that 12,700 square feet isn't just for their Doc Watts business. It's also home to their dance studio and an event space they rent out on the weekends. Doc Watts has been in business since 2008. It's been a long time since George and Margarita first started learning how to run a company, but they're still devoted to growing as entrepreneurs.
We got to get better leaders, which means I'm looking to leadership, schooling, get mentors. I mean, we got to this level from knowing no business skills or no education. Now we got to get smarter. We got to get educated because we can't continue the way we're doing now.
George wasn't the only one who had to develop as a business owner. Margarita also had to go through an evolution of her own.
As we've grown, there are things that I have taken on in the business that have helped it grow. And so I have to stand proud in those things to continue to not let resentment in. I am proud of the fact that, that for me to know that this could not have been built alone. And for me to stand in that pride, to know that I was a part of it and that I helped bring it here. It's just seeing your value, and that's where I've come to, and I'm not backing down.
Today, Doc Watts is a 7-figure company, and they're moving quickly toward 8 figures. They now have 20 employees and 11 electrical trucks on the road. George and Margarita hope to open another location in Fort Myers, Florida, sometime soon. They even plan to start selling Doc Watts merch in an online store. What would you say was the smartest thing that you all did throughout this process?
I think that us being able to build something together really says a lot. And we were able to feed off of our strengths and persevere through a lot of challenges. And where we are today really shows that.
Every day I do like 50 first dates. I reset every day. It's like, what a joy I get to do this venture with my wife. You know, so I think we got that right.
When you run a business, it helps to have a full-service banking solution that has products, tools, and resources designed with your growth in mind. That's what you'll get when you switch to Chase for Business. As a new customer, you'll even get rewarded with a special bonus. Choose Chase, and you'll receive the personal attention you deserve, along with a large-scale presence, including 4,700 local branches and 15,000 ATMs. Plus, you can enjoy innovations like the Chase mobile app, which lets you do your banking on your phone. There are so many easy ways to get the guidance and tools you need to grow with Chase. You can meet with a banker in person, use the online support center, or find helpful information in the resource center. And Chase Business Complete Banking offers built-in card acceptance, a wide range of options for accepting payments and making deposits. So switch today at chase.com/choosechase and get rewarded with a special bonus. This account has a monthly service fee that can be reduced from $15 to $0. Chase Mobile app is available for select mobile devices. Message and data rates may apply. Deposit and credit card products provided by JPMorgan Chase Bank, N.A. member FDIC. Copyright 2024 JPMorgan Chase & Company.
What a story, right?
Yeah, you know, what I really love about it, part of the reason that we wanted to do this podcast was to talk to real businesses. You know, there's so much out there that talks about the latest billion-dollar VC-backed startup or, you know, the household name that everyone knows about. But those aren't the everyday businesses that, you know, sponsor your local little league and keep your community going and employ local people in the same way. And we really wanted to tell those stories. And I just, George and Margarita's story is so rich with that. They're real people facing real business challenges and real family challenges every day and making that work.
Yeah, hustle, right? And then doing things even when you don't feel like you're qualified to do them. They didn't know what they were doing.
Yeah, it's amazing, right?
And yet they still, you know, George is still
fortunately,
like,
fortunately, he knew how to not to shock himself, but beyond that.
Well, yeah.
He knew the electrical
he
part.
Knew the technical piece. Yeah, but you have Margarita, whose psychology background, And then suddenly she's running this business with her husband and they are just freestyling, doing what has to be done in order to make it happen, right?
I think that's really important. We hear from our clients all the time, you know, the first time I ever did something was the first time I ever had to do something. When you have a job and you work for a company, sort of people tell you what to do, or there's a roadmap or there's an app for that.
Yeah.
And in small business, there really is no app. There's no playbook to follow. And so this is classic necessity is the mother of invention kind of stuff, where you see a challenge, you have to do something about it. And so what do? You just figure it out.
You just figure it out. Yeah. And that's what both of them had to do at the same time, with a brand new baby, with a house that's slanted. I mean, just it was a number of things coming together all at one time. Yet they still made it happen.
You know, Tanya, one of the things I hear from business owners all the time is how hard it was just to get started, you know, to win those very first customers. And I hear stories about trial and error, and people try advertising, it doesn't work. People try all different kinds of methods. And it's hard. It's hard when you first get started. So what have you heard from your clients about that first kernel of success when they win their first customers? How do they do it?
A lot of it was It's similar to how Doc Watts did it. And that is that word of mouth, that referral business. I think one thing that Doc Watts did really, really well was being able to differentiate themselves in a sea of, frankly, non-differentiated companies, right? And I think they found a way to be unique. They found a way to be memorable. They found a way to make an impression on the people that they were doing their work for. That's huge. And the fact that he was thinking about this very early on and established this is how we're going to become memorable to people, I think that's really important. I think more people starting out should be aware of that.
You know, look, George says he's an introvert, but it's clear that when he needs to be, he can turn it on. And when you think about small business and the fact that they don't have a whole marketing machine, you know, they are the business. So he found his own authentic way to turn it on when he needed to.
Yeah, absolutely. But Ben, I want to transition a little bit and talk about their use of commercial real estate as part of their growth strategy. As you know, this is a significant part of my practice, and I like seeing how they use that as an opportunity to advance their business. So what do you think about that?
So there's lots of ways to use property as a tool to either balance your income out, to invest profits for the business, or to make it more resilient. All those are perfectly acceptable reasons to buy property, like anything else, as long as you can get it at a reasonable price for what you're buying.
Yeah, as long as it makes sense, right? So with them, to your point, for some small business owners, it's really a risk management approach. And I think that's a thing we've got on the show here, which is what strategy makes the most sense for your business, right? Like, is it a risk management type of thing? Is it a diversification kind of play? What is it that is going to help this particular business in the long term?
Yeah. And also, I encourage people to think about, you know, when you get into anything, doesn't matter what it is, you need to understand it completely. So just like I would tell people who are renting, who are buying their first home, don't think that it's just like renting. It's yes, you live in it, but you're now responsible for taking care of it and paying the taxes and maintaining it and all those things. And the same is true for a business that buys its property. Now, that doesn't mean it's not a good thing to do. It's often a very good thing to do. But business owners need to appreciate that when they're buying a property, whether they're going to use it for their business or they're going to rent it out, it comes with a new set of obligations that they need to be prepared to handle.
It does. But I don't want us to discourage people who may not understand commercial real estate, right? So I get your point. Yes, it's important to understand anything that you're getting into completely. At the same time, though, don't be afraid because you don't know what it's about. If it's a great play or a potentially good play for your business, it's incumbent upon you to become aware or educate yourself. So like, what do you suggest people do or think about when they're trying to figure out that next step?
Or run the numbers. Okay. Run the numbers. Really understand what is it going to cost to own this piece of property? What's it going to cost to service the debt? And when I say service this piece of property, I mean everything, to maintain it properly. If you don't maintain it properly, you're not going to hold the value. If you can't pay the taxes, it's not going to hold its value. So what is it really going to take to service this property properly, to really do it right? And how does that work within the numbers that your business generates? And if you run the numbers and it works, then it's a great investment in many cases. And if it doesn't, then you're not ready.
Yeah, true.
The other lesson I took away from the story is that you just never know where a great idea will come from. And it's important to pay attention to the world around you. And, you know, sometimes even a great business idea can come from the way that you give back to the world. Think about what happened in Puerto Rico, right? I mean, he donated some generators to Puerto Rico after the storm when they were without power. And of course, that was a tragedy for the people who lived there, and he was able to help. But out of that grew a new business idea.
Yeah, I thought that was awesome. You know, came from a great place of just wanting to help others who were in a really, really tough situation. And then from that, his ability to see that there was a need there that he could serve. He found something that complemented his core business. And I think that that's great, just being aware of the potential opportunities to grow without it being detrimental to the business.
Yeah, and it helped him see around the corner, right? So he could see that what had happened in Puerto Rico could happen in Florida. True. And that people were starting to wake up to that reality, and it gave him an opportunity for the business.
Yeah, and it's just a testament to being open and being aware that business is dynamic. You don't continue to do the same thing over and over again for years and years without being willing to adjust.
Yeah, I know very few entrepreneurs who say my business is exactly in every way what I envisioned when I started.
Right, and you have to know when to kind of cut some things loose or when to expand and try some new things.
I want to give George real credit for one other thing. I want to give him credit for his growth mindset. And what I mean by that is he's not static. He's not satisfied. He and Margarita have been enormously successful, but they don't take that as a reason to sit back and enjoy the spoils. They know that to get to the next level, they're going to have to continue to learn and grow, because every day they run a bigger business than they've ever run. Because it's important that people understand that as long as you own a business, there's never a moment at which you spike the football and declare victory.
Right.
It doesn't work that way. As long as you own that business, competitors are coming for you. Things you can't control are going to impact it. Whatever it is, there's always issues as long as you own a business. And if you're not getting smarter and learning and growing and developing with that business, you're going to fall behind. As long as you own that business, you cannot declare victory.
Yeah, I love that.
And look, one of the things he's struggling with is growing as a leader means finding other leaders to be part of his organization. You know, people who work in big companies naturally understand that. It's a big part of what they do is help grow generations of leaders and lead leaders. It's not something that helps you build a business from zero. So there's always a pivot that comes for small businesses when they get to a certain size, where suddenly the business owner can't know everything and has to have people that they trust who can lead others on their behalf. And that's a big leap for a lot of people.
It is a big leap, and I want to say it's a huge challenge for a lot of small business owners. They've been so entrenched in their business. They know how to do it. They're developing themselves. They've become great leaders, but finding those people who will kind of step into their shoes and do what they used to do, or who will even perhaps succeed them later, is a widespread challenge that I'm hearing from a lot of different small business owners. And the question is, how do you do it when you're not big business?
As a business gets bigger, one of the most important things it can do is hire people who have worked in bigger businesses who understand how leadership at scale can look and feel. By definition, if you started your business from zero, if you've never worked in corporate, you don't know what that looks like. So you don't necessarily want to turn your business into a large corporation overnight. That's not a good thing. But you do want to bring in people who can teach you how to do those things and show others what good looks like when it comes to that leadership. Now, there's a catch, which is you have to be open to someone who wants to do things in a different way.
Yeah.
And you have to find a way to do that in a way that's authentic to you. But you have to bring in people who've seen it done at scale if you want to operate at scale.
Well, Ben, I'm excited to see what Doc Watts is going to do. They've taken some big risks and have had some big wins as a result. So it's cool to see what they're doing, and I look forward to seeing more from them.
I expect a lot. Tanya, I want to go back to your chat with the Riveras. They had some words of advice that really highlight the spirit and determination of all small business owners that we should share.
Let's hear it.
It's real simple for me. It's just take action. Yeah, you don't have to be the smartest guy. You don't have to have everything figured out. You can get educated later on. The thing is, how many books you're going to read, how many seminars and all that stuff you can read, but if you don't take no action, that's my advice. Just take the action. It doesn't matter what position you're at, where you're at in life. Start somewhere, fail forward, just do something.
I would say write a plan, write your goals, write your vision, and then kind of write down like how you're gonna get there. And then remembering why you started. For us, I had to quit my job to do this. There is no looking back. There is no giving up. Keep going and make it happen.
Thanks for listening to The Unshakeables. If you like the show, please rate and review it to help other listeners find it. In the next episode, after a severe allergic reaction shakes her family, Denise Woodard is inspired to create a line of allergen-free snacks to protect her daughter and others. I'm Tanya Nebo, and this is The Unshakeables from Chase for Business and Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia.
The Unshakeables is a production of Ruby Studio from iHeartMedia, and we'll have...